Tennessee's top technology official is on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to Tennessee Tech Today. Stephanie Irwin Dedman credits a Tennessee Tech education for preparing her to become Tennessee's top technology official. As the Chief Information Officer for the state of Tennessee, Dedman is focused on customer needs and solving problems to help support state agencies in providing services to the citizens of Tennessee through information technology. And she joins us now on Tennessee Tech Today. Stephanie, what's been the biggest leadership challenge you've faced during COVID-19?
I would say really keeping our workforce connected and making sure that, as a leader, that we communicate all the things going on in the state and what information is going to be coming from the governor's office regarding work from home and testing and other impacts to our workforce. The state of Tennessee has a formal work from home process that's been in place actually about 7 or 8 years. And so at the beginning of the virus, we had a good amount of our workforce that was at home and then worked to send as many people as we could home with equipment and instructions on how to use technology to stay connected. So really just making sure our managers and supervisors are very purposeful in reaching out, staying in touch, managing the workload in a remote environment. I would say that's been the biggest challenge, is just trying to think of creative ideas, encouraging folks to stay in touch and to check on each other, and just managing in a virtual environment.
Well, it sounds like your organization has already adapted to telecommunicating. Do you see any of these changes as being permanent?
In some ways, yes. I believe that a large number of our workforce will probably continue to work from home, if not full-time, pretty close to it. It's still evolving, but even with the governor's return to work over the last couple of weeks, he has continued to encourage state employees to work from home who can, who are productive and have the appropriate setup to do so. So I think for many months and possibly years to come, even I think there'll be a much more work from home, even if some people evolve to a 1 or 2 days in the office and 3 or 4 days at home. I think it will be more permanent. And we've learned that it can be productive. There were certainly naysayers, certain agencies who really didn't think work from home could work. But when pressed and made to do it, we've learned that it can work. And that's been a positive.
What are some of the challenges or worries that you've had or have there been any?
Just, what the new normal looks like and what that means for managing. I mean, it's different to manage in a virtual environment. And I miss people. I miss meetings. I miss, being in groups. I miss collaborating with people in a room and a whiteboard. So I do worry, will we ever return to that? But I'm learning that there are different ways to achieve that. And, certainly trying to make sure our workforce understands that as well, and that we adjust, that we work hard to help people understand how it can work.
Now, after 15 years in the private sector, what led you to a career in public service for the state of Tennessee?
Well, really, really two things, I'd say. One was at the time the Governor Bredesen had been in office, and I felt like there were a lot of technology initiatives that he and his administration were interested in. And so I felt like it was potentially a very good time to join state government, that technology was being viewed as more of an enabler and a need to have to be innovative and creative. And so I felt like it was a good time to join the state. And then while I absolutely enjoyed my 15 years with Accenture, increased travel was on the horizon for me. And I felt like I couldn't commit to that with young children at home. I'd been fairly fortunate. And so it was a difficult decision to leave. Going to the state, that I have had so many more opportunities than I really could have imagined. And so I don't regret the change at all.
Just talk a little bit about what role have mentors or champions played in helping you shape your professional career?
Yeah, I think about that a lot because I hope that I can pay it forward as we say to others. You know, I've had some great bosses that were just always supportive. They were always willing to listen, always willing to support me in taking on additional responsibility or new roles. And I would say I learned the most from informal relationships, not, you know, formal mentoring programs or, things that were scripted, more from just working with great people who really cared. And so then it's, trying to seek those people out in an organization that, you know, you want to mirror, that you think they are good to people, they have a good reputation for supporting their people, they're respected in the organization, and, you know, they're going places. And then just trying to, respectfully ask for, even if it's not, you know, will you be my mentor, it's just, can we go to coffee and I just want to, you know, pick your brain and understand how your career has gone and what are some lessons learned. I think you learn the most from those informal, just asking people to share what's been helpful to them.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will hear more from Stephanie Debbin about how tech helped her in her career. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Stephanie Debbin is the Chief Information Officer for the state of Tennessee. Debbin earned 2 degrees at Tennessee Tech, graduating in 1988 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration and then earning a Master of Business Administration degree in 1989 from Tech as well. Well, let's talk about your time at Tennessee Tech. What do you remember most about being a College of Business student in Johnson Hall?
I think I would say I remember the support of the faculty and you know, leadership. I just always felt like they really wanted us to succeed. They wanted us to be good professionals, to be good alumni, to be good community, community activists. That's not quite the right word, but I those kind of things start at the top, I believe, and I just feel like most of the professors that I came in contact with always cared about us individually.
Looking back now, how important was it to get that MBA?
Well, for me, it was very important. I had a marketing undergrad, not that that's not a great major, but I really didn't know what I wanted to do with that. And so getting my MBA, and at the time it was a very general program, so I had exposure to accounting, marketing, computer science or management information systems, multiple areas. So it was just important to me to better round out my exposure and training and classwork. The program at the time was case study based. I really actually have to admit, I don't know if it's still that way or not, but it was it's not, unfortunately, Cheryl. Well, in my opinion, unfortunately, because it forced teamwork. It forced is a strong word, but it encouraged teamwork. It encouraged research, writing, analytics, presentation, you know, the whole nine yards. So yeah. That's a long answer, but to say it was very important and beneficial to me.
So what advice do you have for our current students and recent graduates?
I would say interview a lot, even if it's companies that you know, may not think you want to work for, because practice does make perfect. And interviewing is it's a stressful thing. And so the more you do it, the more you can learn, you know, how to think on your feet and how to answer questions thoroughly. So I'd say interview often, ask professors for help, for contacts and networking, because a lot of them do have, through their professional organizations or, you know, other, even in Cookeville or across the state, they do have private sector contacts and colleagues that they stay in touch with. I would say, you know, use the career services office. I mean, attend resume workshops, attend how to interview, just every opportunity that's afforded, that's offered, either, you know, through Tennessee Tech or through other organizations, take advantage of those opportunities to learn and ask questions.
Now, are there any professional resources that you can recommend, books, professional publications, podcasts for students seeking the IT profession?
Gosh, you know, that's a big question. I would, and there's so much more information available, you know, on the internet these days, and you can spend hours. I personally find Gartner very helpful. I mean, Gartner is a research company that provides, you know, white papers, and we actually, the state of Tennessee actually subscribes to Gartner, which means we have additional access to research and analysts. But from an IT perspective, they do publish a wealth of information across all kinds of topics, and I always find that to be very helpful. You know, there are professional organizations. Nashville has a technology council. Most of the large cities do. There's a Women in Technology national organization. Tennessee has a chapter that's based out of Nashville. You know, there are just a phenomenal amount of research and organizations. And I would say, just based on a particular area of interest, you know, do your research, find things of interest, and then lean on alumni. I think many of us are willing to help. We don't necessarily always know how. And so I think there's more opportunities for us to get involved, you know, whether that's speaking to classes or organizations, to answer questions, because I know students probably want to ask professionals questions, and then, you know, for us to also help build their network and potentially put them in contact with job seekers.
All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with more from Stephanie Dedman. Don't go away.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Tennessee Tech Today, where we are still talking with Stephanie Dedman, the Chief Information Officer for the state of Tennessee, who is a Tennessee Tech alumna. Dedman is responsible for all operational areas of the state's central IT organization, Strategic Technology Solutions. This includes managing the team's IT service delivery, technical infrastructure development and maintenance, support of the consolidated state network and two state-owned data centers, business application development, customer service management, and the support of a workforce of more than 1,300 IT professionals. So let's get into the evolving role of the CIO. How have you managed such a large organization spread out over multiple locations, and what challenges have you faced in trying to do that?
You know, I think with any, and that's a good question, because my team specifically is 1,300 strong. And you're right, we are, probably 85 to 90% of us are in Middle Tennessee. We do have offices across the state, because we support, you know, the device, the endpoint devices, as well as, you know, locations. I think the challenge is communications and helping those folks feel a part of it, feel a part of a team and understand our culture and direction and what's important to me as a leader and important as a service organization, because that's what we are. We provide IT services to all of the state agencies. So we are an enabler for them to deliver the important services that they provide to the citizens of our state. And so you have to be creative. We can't physically pull together 1,300 people. That's not possible, nor would it be a good use of taxpayer dollars. But it is very important to me as a leader that that workforce understands the culture, what kind of culture I want to promote and encourage. We have guiding principles that we put in place about 3 or 4 years ago, about a year before I came into this role. I was the deputy CIO before I became CIO. And so, it's just constantly thinking of creative ways to communicate. We have a quarterly town hall that we stream live. And so we'll have about 100 people attend in person and then another 400 or 500 people online. That's not reaching half, that's not close to half of our workforce, and that bothers me. Now, we have people that go back and watch the recording, and that's good. And so the challenge is leveraging, setting the expectations for my directors and their managers, and then the supervisors, that all of the leadership of my organization has a responsibility to communicate the message that I want our team to understand.
So along with that, where do you see the state moving to the next 3 to 5 years from a technology perspective? Are there new platforms that you're seeking to deploy, or given the current situation with the budget and the cuts that we expect as a result of the decline in revenue, how do you overcome those challenges moving forward?
That's a very good and timely question. As we are presently working on, potential reductions, unfortunately. So the first part of your question, and I'll try not to make this too long. We have two state data centers, and most of our agency business applications are hosted in our state data centers. Not all, but most, which means we own and manage and run and maintain all the technical infrastructure supporting those business applications. We are moving toward the cloud. We are moving towards, which is really sort of outsourcing it, using that word. It's putting it in someone else's data center. We will still manage the applications and have to monitor them. It just means we will not own all of the technical infrastructure. That's going to take time. There are over 1,000 state business applications that we will either have to migrate, redevelop, modernize. That's the short answer to your question of new technology, and that we will be moving over the course of 2 to 4 years out of our, we will maintain at least one state data center, but we'll likely move to one and move those applications to the cloud. Dealing with shrinking revenue and shrinking budgets, we just have to figure out how to continue the services we must provide and analyze, are there vendors who can provide some of the services we do, who can do it less expensively, cheaper, better, faster. And that's actually a little bit of a trend across the U.S. for my peers they call it CIO as a broker, or IT as a broker of services, which means we analyze what we need to continue to own ourselves and what can we outsource to other vendors because they can do it cheaper, better, faster. That doesn't necessarily mean a shrinking workforce. It could, but it doesn't have to, because you still have to manage that vendor. You still have responsibility to make sure the services are getting done. So you have to measure, analyze, and manage the contracts, et cetera. One thing a little bit different from that I did want to point out, because I talk about the evolving role of the CIO, is that, and this sort of is in the category of advice as well, in that I mentioned I had a marketing undergrad, an MBA. Clearly, I did not major in MIS or computer science. I'm not discouraging that, but my point is a well-rounded IT professional, well into their career, needs broad experience in managing teams, in how to communicate, how to write well, how to negotiate. So I believe the role of the technologist is evolving to be a more well-rounded individual who, and I absolutely believe that technologists need to grow up doing technology. Grow up isn't the right word. Grow their skills, advance their career. But we will always need technologists, and we will need people who want to continue to be very technical. They have no desire to be in management or lead a big team. But for those who do aspire to grow their career and take on additional responsibility, those soft skills are very important and should not be overlooked during your college career and during your early career development as well.
Well, how different is managing from a remote location, and how do managers pivot from managing by site to managing by objective?
One thing, we had the benefit of implementing across the state a performance management program. It's probably been about 7 or 8 years as well, a formal performance management program, which requires every employee to have what's called an individual performance plan. And some of this won't sound new, but for a workforce of 38,000, it's pretty impressive, I think. Every person's IPP or individual performance plan has to have at least, or between 4 and 6 work outcomes that are focused on achieving something. And then you have action items associated with those work outcomes. And obviously it's not meant to cover every part of someone's job, but the top areas. And those work outcomes have to be measurable or SMART, which you may have heard: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. And so when you, I hate to use the word force, but when you require that be in place, it gives you the way to measure people's output. And output isn't always widgets or computer code or something tangible. Shifting to managing remotely, if you've done a good job of your work outcomes, the work doesn't change, right? Where you sit changes and how you communicate changes, but the work should be similar. Now, there are some situations where, your work literally might change because you're working from home. And so we have a good foundation, is my point in bringing all that up, from which to work. I think the key is that frequent communication that I mentioned earlier and staying in touch. It's interesting, I find my conversations with my direct reports are more about how are you doing, how are things going, depending on, their responsibilities at home, because that's an added wrinkle in our workforce and how to manage our people. Is because their home life now is more, it has to be taken into account. So I think in this, managing remotely, I think we have to be more compassionate and more, take more time to really talk about how you're doing, what are your challenges, how can I help, how can we consider something different? Because, it is challenging and it's different for everybody.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, but before we let you go, we want to circle back to your time at Tennessee Tech and ask, what made you choose Tech and what did you like most about it?
Well, I am flattered to be asked and just proud to be a Tech graduate. I when I first started working for Accenture, I was working with people that went to Vanderbilt and UT and this is in the Nashville office, and even folks from around the South, and a lot of them were like, I've never heard of Tennessee Tech. And I'm like, don't worry, it's fine. I'm qualified. And, you know, nor would I have thought that many years ago that I would be CIO of the state. But I absolutely believe that one of the contributors to that is my education at Tech, and both undergraduate and MBA. And I think I commented in an earlier article, the other interview, that it, you know, it's always sort of been the best kept secret. And even growing up in Nashville, when I told my parents I wanted to go to Tennessee Tech, of course they were thrilled because it was an in-state school, but they didn't really know much about it either. I had been to a camp, a cheerleading camp, which I know, having been to summer school at Tech, is an annoying thing in the summer when you're a student. But that was my exposure to Tech, was that in the summer I was there for cheerleading camp. And I just fell in love with the architecture of the university and how close-knit all the buildings were. Now, there weren't many students on campus. You know, I didn't meet any professors. I didn't have a clue about the close-knit family that Cookeville and Tennessee Tech is. And I really appreciated the opportunity to go to school in a small town, having grown up in Nashville. It's a totally different experience. At any rate, I just am always very proud to talk about Tech and my experience there.
So what are some of your fondest memories about Tech? Homecoming, maybe?
I just had not been exposed to a whole community supporting the university like Cookeville does. So I would say homecomings, all of the homecomings at Tech were fond memories, because the city of Cookeville, you know, came out, alumni came back to campus, and all to celebrate, you know, the university. So those are some of my fondest memories. And then I would say, you know, just the friendship, obviously. I mean, most everyone probably talks about the lifelong friendships that they make. And just continuing those, you know, staying in touch with folks that you, you know, suffered classes over and exams and studying and all those things. So,
all right. Thanks again, Stephanie Dedman, the CIO for the state of Tennessee, for being with us. And thanks to Cheryl Montgomery, the Director of Program Development and Engagement in the College of Business, for setting up that interview and coming up with some great questions. Well, that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu, or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.